We have been studying knowing Jesus through the miracles. Today, being a special week and special Saturday, we thought we will just deviate a little bit so we can actually talk about elders, and we will restart again next week knowing Jesus through miracles until Easter. And after that, we will start another series. You know, you may be curious to know what kind of church we are. You know, what kind of church are we evolving into? So we thought we will be able to talk to you today. What kind of leadership or how are we managed? The Crossroad Church is managed by a team of leaders. I'll talk to you a little bit about how we do that. We believe that congregation, the members of the congregation are the final authority. Or, you know, they form the highest body. But the day-to-day function of the church is managed by a team of elders. So it is not run by one individual, but a team of leaders. Major decisions like approval of the budget, hiring or firing of the pastor, buying church properties, administering church discipline, and also changing denominations or getting a new affiliation of denomination, congregation will be involved. But day-to-day function is managed by a team of elders. So you may ask, how do you select an elder? You know, what is the formality? You know, how do you identify some of the elders? That is what I'd like to talk to you today, so that you will be well informed about the polity of the church. You know, I think this is a high time to talk about that, because we, technically speaking, we are completing 2 years. We began praying and thinking about the Crossroad ministry about 2 years back, 2008 March, middle of March. And although we started in 2009, this is 2 years, and this is the time we need to be thinking about the polity of the church. How do you select elders? You know, the word elder is an old person. I have one of my eldest brothers, we call them oldest brother. He's 10 years older than me. When my father became bankrupt and when we moved from one state to another state, he took the responsibility on himself. And he took care of the whole family responsibility. And I always tell, you know, next to my wife, the most important person is my eldest brother. He played a very important role. In most cultures, and most of us are aware of that, most cultures, the eldest brother or the eldest one has an important responsibility. The same way, church is a family, and we need to have elders, and they have important responsibility. When we say elder, we don't mean old people. And also, you know, we don't mean how long have they been Christians. But we have some criteria by which we select elders. I call them five C's. First one is called the call. If someone wants to be an elder, he needs to have a call. Someone came and asked me the other day, how do you tell someone has a call? There are two things you can say. First of all, being an elder is a gift according to Romans 12:8. If someone has a gift of being an elder or playing a leadership role, it is a gift given to that person. He cannot hide it. He cannot just, you know, ignore the gift, because God has gifted that person with a gift of leadership so that that gift can be used for the benefit of the church. The second one is a deep desire to lead. We read that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. If someone aspires to be a leader, you know, a lot of us have a desire to lead. That means, you know, it is not a bad thing. It is not an unhealthy desire, but it is a desire that God has put in us. Maybe it is part of the call. In the coming days, some of us who are sitting here may aspire to be a leader of this church. So call is very important. And also, you know, if someone has a call of leadership, if you trace their pattern of life, maybe in the last 3 or 4 years, if someone wants to be a leader, that person must have initiated a lot of leadership efforts on their own without being told. So, you know, call is very important in identifying someone to be an elder. There are some passages we can read, but I would like to read a passage that is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. This is what it says. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money. You know, being an elder is a call from God. God wants elders to take care of the sheep, that the members, Christians, believers, followers of Christ. And there is another passage. It is what we read is a reflection of John 21. After Jesus rose again, he appeared to the disciples three times or several times. And one of the appearances, all the disciples went to their old profession. Peter was in a kind of, you know, he had removed all his clothes and he was going for fishing. And Jesus appeared to him. And you know the story. And Jesus asked, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. And he said, feed my flock. Again, Jesus asked, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my flock. And the third time, Jesus said, and Peter was a little bit disturbed. Jesus asked, do you love me? Jesus said, Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. Then Jesus said, you feed my flock. Jesus is calling Peter, and also Peter is giving an instruction to the believers in diaspora. Elders, feed the flock. Take care of your sheep, not for some kind of personal advantage, but because that is your call. So that is the first criteria for someone to be an elder. The second one is a commitment. A lot of people will say, I have a call. But commitment is where we measure whether that person has a call. We can claim, theoretically, I have leadership, I learned leadership, but whether we are committed. What is commitment? I looked at the dictionary, and I could not really come up with a good definition for commitment. This is what I have come up with: a determination to fulfill the call despite inconveniences. If someone says, I have a call to feed the flock or take care of the sheep, and if one of the members has a problem and that person is in the hospital, if the elder says, I cannot come, I'm so busy, or I'm watching football now, I cannot come, that means that person is not qualified to be an elder because there is no commitment. If someone is suffering, if a family is suffering, maybe because of a relationship or because of financial issues or because of the relationship between parents and children, if an elder who claims that he has a call and he is not grieving with the family and going and at least praying with them and giving them counseling, probably we have to see whether that person has a commitment. When God called the apostles, we can see their commitment in their action. If there is no action, only claim, probably that person is not qualified to be an elder. So the first one is call, the second C is commitment, the third one is character. That is listed in several places, and I'd like to read one famous passage that is in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 to 7. That is Peter lists Paul lists the character of an elder. Here is a trustworthy saying: if anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. That means, he desires to be an elder, and that is very good. Now, the elder must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. A good list of qualifications for an elder: call, commitment, character. That is why, you know, when someone wants to be an elder, they are not just selected because they are highly qualified or socially prominent or they are wealthy or they have political clout. They don't qualify. All these social prominence don't qualify to lead a church. To lead a church, one has to exemplify. If someone says, you know, I am shepherding a flock, and if there is nothing to be imitated in that person, then, you know, the selection or the criteria of selecting an elder was flawed. A leader has to be above reproach. And all the list, and the same list is mentioned in Titus chapter 1, 5 to 9. Amazing, amazing one. That, you know, church is a body of Christ. And God has appointed elders. First of all, he saves them and disciples them and places in them a deep desire to be an elder. And as he is grooming that person to be an elder, that person must exemplify his call through his character. And the fourth one is chemistry. Chemistry, you know, you may think, what is this chemistry? Is it something like, you know, putting some chemicals and mix it? Chemistry is, you know, a person who believes in the unity of leaders. If a person anytime fights with another person, all the time, you go to the bus stand or go to the grocery store or go to the airport, if that person tends to fight, probably that person cannot be an elder because that person does not have chemistry. As I said earlier, Crossroad Church is managed by a group of elders. And as we come together, we need to have unity. And we need to love one another, care for one another, and we have to have a chemistry. That doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. We will look at things differently. You know, we may have different preferences. But whenever we come together, we claim Matthew chapter 18, when two or three gather in my name, I am there. So when we meet together as elders, we meet together in the presence of Christ. That means we need to have chemistry. Sometimes an elder may have a strong preference, but you know, God's interest and the interest of the church is so important that, you know, we go with the other person. So chemistry is very important. Paul lists in 1 Timothy and also Titus that elder is not someone who is quarrelsome. Sadly, you know, this is where Christians flaw, and it doesn't affect the church immediately, but it just affects church outside. There are some places where you go, people say, these elders have taken other elder to the court. I have seen, you know, when I was becoming a believer, that was one of the stumbling blocks, because they are good preachers, good, gifted leaders, but their trust is in the court, not in Christ. You know, if there is no unity, we have agreed among our leaders, we will always try for consensus. But if consensus is not there in our decision, we will wait for 1 week, 2 weeks, or 1 month. We will again come together to discuss. If there is no consensus, there are two reasons. One, God is not in it, or for the sake of the unity of the leaders and unity of the church, for the benefit of the church, the other person goes along with the rest of the leaders. There is no point of fighting there. Or there is no point in not agreeing with the other person. So that is an important quality. Call, commitment, character, and chemistry. And the last one is competence. Competence is ability. We read in Titus chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5 to 9, competence is very clearly given. And you see from Acts of the Apostles and in early churches, elders were the people who expounded the Word of God. Elders were the people who directed the church. Elders were the people who handled money. Elders were the people who took care of administration. If someone wants to be an elder, if that person doesn't have the ability to teach or take care of one of the aspects of the church, probably, he doesn't fulfill one of the important criteria, that is competence. So, we have these five C's. So, you may ask, how do we select elders? We select elders on the basis of these five C's: call, commitment, character, chemistry, and competence. And our desire is that in the coming days, Crossroad Church will grow in bringing people, and also God will call them to be elders, even as they get ready or groomed for eldership. We will have all these C's in place. The next question will be, what are their roles? You say, this is the quality of the person, this is what he is. What are their roles? The most important role is this: protect the vision, mission, and the values of the church. The vision of Crossroad Church is this: Crossroad Church, Crossroad as a multi-ethnic congregation, seeks to reach a South Asian community that live in Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex. We as a congregation, we come from all background, for all language background, ethnic background, racial background, but our focus is to reach South Asian community that live in Dallas-Fort Worth area. The elders of Crossroad Church will be to protect this vision. As, we grow, or as we have more money and property and other resources, we should never deviate from the vision. When God has given this vision, elders are the people who will protect this vision. And our mission is this. The mission of Crossroad Church is to bring glory to God by exalting Him, edifying one another, and evangelizing the South Asian community that live in Dallas-Fort Worth. These three E's, they have to protect. If there is any threat from anywhere, from within or out, they are the people who would be in the front. They will protect. In Acts chapter 20, there is a very powerful passage there. Paul was in Ephesus. He was leaving for Jerusalem, and then, God willing, he wanted to go to Rome. At that time, he called the elders of the church, church at Ephesus, and this is what he says. He talks about himself, how he lived, and finally he says, verse 30, I think, even from your own number men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples away from them, so that be on guard. He's talking to the elders and he's saying, after I leave, after some time, there will be people who would come out of you or from outside who will try to deviate you from the truth, distort the truth. At that time, you have to stand up and say, this is what we stand for. This is our vision. This is our mission. And these are our values. And we will protect it. And that is the most important, one of the most important responsibilities of the elders. And the next one, elders are supposed to pray for the well-being of the church. In other words, they will be intercessors for the church. When they may be working, they may be teaching, they may be in business, but their heart will be for you. If someone is suffering, we read that in James 5, 14, 15, and 16. James says, if any of you fall sick, let them call the elders. Let them come and pray over you. That is a very powerful passage where elders are given an authority to come and pray over people who are sick or people who have problems. So, and even when they come together, more than discussing about so much of business, they should spend considerable amount of time praying for the well-being of the congregation. That is one of the most important responsibilities. And the third one, manage the growth and development of the church. Elders will join together and they will see if we are growing, if we are, if we have quality, if we are teaching well. Suppose if we have a pastor, suddenly, I bring out some kind of weird teaching. Elders should just raise the red flag and say, that is not part of what we believe. That is not there in the scripture, because they have to be on high alert. And also, they should see and manage the expansion and development of the church. That is, these are the two important roles. These are the three important roles. They protect the vision of the church, vision, mission, and values. They intercede and pray for the congregation, and also they manage the growth and development of the church. You may ask, okay, we are going to have an elder today, and eventually we will have a few more elders. We have a kind of two-stage selection for elder board. First one, we have something called the SLT, Strategic Leadership Team. And now we have two others who are part of this Strategic Leadership Team, and we will have few more. And when they are ready, when they express they are ready to be installed as elders, we will have them, we will install them here, and eventually, God willing, we will have a good number of elders to take care of this church. At that time, they will be always ministering to you. In other words, they will be standing between you and God. What is your responsibility? Number one, pray for your elders. Paul says in several places, pray for me. Paul was in Thessalonica, Paul was in Corinth, Paul was in Philippi, in all these places. When Paul was in Rome, he said, pray for me. He was not arrogant because he was an apostle. He had a special relationship with God, but he said, pray for me. And I would give you the same exhortation today as today's takeaway is, pray for Bob and pray for myself and pray for other SLT members. Because when we come together, we will make decisions. They will bring glory, honor, and praises to God, and that will always be for the health and the protection of the church. The second one is play your role in the health and the development of this body. Those of you who are bought into the vision, mission, and the value of the church and who have been part of the church for such a long time, your role is not just coming and sitting and hearing some sermons and participating in worship. It's, you play your role. I'm reading a book called Sticky Church. And this pastor in California says he has, now their congregation is about 3,500 people. They started with about 45, 50 people, and they did so many things. Finally, God revealed to him through several experiences, it is not the shepherd who gives birth, but it is the sheep that gives birth. If church is not growing, there are two levels of problem. One, shepherd or shepherds are not equipping the members to do the work of the Lord. And if the church is not growing, and if it is not growing in the sense, we are not really concerned about number. We are concerned about our influence in the society. Just before we came here, we read a passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and chapter 1 also. Paul says, your faith is spoken about in whole of Macedonia and Achaia. Even in Jerusalem, people talk about your faith within a short period of time. Why? Because the church had a proper DNA, and the people who, they say they turned from worshiping idols to the living God. I call that one transformation. When you live so strong in the Lord, when we all walk with the Lord, we don't need to speak too loud for people to know that we are believers. It will be, our life itself will be a testimony, a message to outsiders. So the health, the influence, and new members coming to the church is part of your responsibility as much as it is the responsibility of the elders. So these are the two takeaways I would like to give it to you today. Is this. One, pray for the elders regularly in your prayers. Second one, play your role. I've been talking to some of our friends who have been coming regularly, and I'm so encouraged to hear some said, I've been memorizing Bible verses because we went through some of the passages, the sermons recently. Said, and I called one day one of my friends and he said, I'm spending time with the Father. You know, that is, after we heard the series, I make sure that I spend quite time with the Father. And I was talking to another friend yesterday. She said, you know, I had my fasting after many months or many years. You know, that's an encouragement to me because, you know, we speak here every sermon with a lot of prayer. The ministry of the word, ministry of worship, and even fellowship, it has a lot of preparation. We need to be doing more. Our influence has to be stronger. And we are in a light on the top of the mountain. We cannot hide our light, light that comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be made bigger and stronger so that people will be attracted to Jesus Christ, not just to us. May God bless us. We will just have a word of prayer and then we will proceed to the next one.